This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. There may be questions around how long-lasting today's Freedom Day will be here in the UK, but providing you with some of the answers on all things financial is Market Talk, with me, Frances Watson, and in Hong Kong, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research. This week, we'll be talking oil in light of OPEC Plus's decision to increase supply, the proposed package of climate change measures from the European Commission, and what to look for as we pick our way through the maze of Q2 results. Ben, hello to you.
Hi, Frances. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Now, last week, we had another bumper inflation figure in the States. What was the reaction of markets?
Yeah, it was the third in a row that we've had that's been much higher than expectations. In fact, it beat every economist's projection that I saw anyway. And the core reading, so if you take a strip out energy, oil, etc., the core reading, 4.5% year on year, was the highest since 1991. So big. And yet investors really shrugged their shoulders, didn't have much reaction at all. And it's really because when you look at what's been driving the increase, it should be temporary factors still. We haven't seen it go into those sort of core numbers that we would be worried about. It is things like used car sales, which, you know, this time next year should be a lot lower, of course. So the reaction from, you know, investors for government bonds or equities was pretty minimal, actually, on the day.
Pretty muted. And still, in terms of fiscal largesse, a boost for President Biden's administration in terms of getting his package through Congress.
Yeah. So if you remember, Biden already did one massive package at the beginning of the year, which was all to do with unemployment benefits, etc. And now he wants to do his infrastructure bills. They've agreed, they've sort of agreed on a chunky package across both Democrats and Republicans. And then in the Senate, they've passed a potential $3.5 trillion purse, in effect, so they could spend that. However, still a lot of hurdles to clear for that. It would have to be voted by the full Senate, and then they'd have to choose how you're going to fund it. Some of that could be tax increases, of course. You don't have to use the whole $3.5 trillion. So it's the first step, but we're still not cleared in terms of the full package.
From the US to Europe, Ben, and we're hearing over here these terrible, terrible floods that are sweeping parts of Europe, Germany, Netherlands. Not in response to that, but with the aim of reducing net carbon emissions by 2050, the European Commission has come out with a proposed package of climate laws. What are we reading there? What's in it? What's in the package?
Yeah, it's really interesting, this, because, I mean, the numbers are things that we see all the time in terms of trying to get down to net zero. So they're trying to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 55% by 2030 versus 1990. So that's their starting point. But actually, the most interesting thing about this is they're going to be looking at tariffs on goods imported from outside the European Union. And that's because countries within the European Union, developed countries, et cetera, have been able to reduce their carbon footprint over the years by, in effect, pushing their manufacturing into other parts of the world, China or wherever it might be. And therefore, you know, your carbon footprint looks as though it's gone down, but you're still buying a car. It's just not produced in the country that you live in. So, yeah. Trying to tariff those imports is actually a really interesting and important step. Now, the issue is whether or not it's legal, because, you know, from a World Trade Organization point of view, putting tariffs on things is very much frowned upon. So again, a bit like what we've been talking about in the other things in the Biden fiscal plan, it's the first step, and the devil will be in the detail. But it's a good step, and it's really interesting.
Now, let's turn to markets this week, and bit of a soggy tone on Friday and coming into the start of a new week. Yet again, market unsettled by COVID news, which is, boycotting, two people, I think, at the Tokyo Olympics, which again starts this week, doesn't it? Opening ceremony, yeah. Have tested positive. Our three very important cabinet members here in the UK are all self-isolating. Markets don't like it.
Yeah, you're right. There's been a bit of a wobble. And funnily enough, I was talking to our other strategists this morning about the drivers behind this. We were worried or wondering a little bit if it was to do with some signs of fiscal of monetary tightening that we've seen in some countries, you know, New Zealand, Canada, talking about reducing their quantitative easing. Also a couple of sort of more hawkish comments from the Bank of England. But frankly, it's not really that at all, because, you know, real yields in the US are still really, really low. So it's still getting a lot of monetary support, still positive. It's what you've said, I think. It is worries about this, yeah, the next wave of the virus. And you're seeing some big increases. You mentioned Japan. We've seen it in the area that I live, right, in terms of Vietnam, in terms of Thailand, all these countries. And you're looking at those stock markets where you've seen the spike increase in the virus. Those stock markets are starting to underperform. You've also seen it in the travel and leisure sector. Also, actually, funnily enough, seen it in some of the areas that have done really well recently, like technology. So yeah, it is a bit of a wobble, but like I yeah. said, at least we've got this support still from the monetary policy. So I would still be on the side of saying that it's just a wobble, and that, you know, people will generally want to buy this dip, but it's been a couple of days and it's worth keeping an eye on.
And in that vein, and, you know, putting that all together and what you've said, Ben, I mean, in response to that, partly, I guess, oil lower too this morning, but that's also in relation to the OPEC Plus meeting that took place last week.
Yeah, you're right. I think some of it is cyclical sort of sectors and commodities, you know, worried a little bit about demand because of the virus. But yes, there was an agreement. I mean, there was a few meetings and not meetings last week, based on the fact that there wasn't much of an agreement between some of the big members of OPEC Plus. But it sounds as though they've now come to some sort of agreement which involves a production increase, so more supply. And of course, if you increase supply, you generally see the price fall. That's happened, but it's still at a very high level. It's only just come down a few dollars, and, you know, the price has gone up significantly more than that so far this year. So it's just clipping the top, I would say. So nothing really to worry about.
Okay, so this week, very busy week for analysts with the raft of Q2. I mean, look, we knew they would be knockout because this time last year we were in a bad place. So what should we be looking at aside from knockout numbers? You know, what should we be concentrating on?
Yeah, you're right. So Q2 earnings season started last week, really, with some of the big US banks. Remember, those are the companies that generally report pretty early, and they were good numbers. But what we're trying to do is look into some of the details, you know, from the banking side. You know, what is the trading revenue? That was a little bit disappointing. But in terms of provisions for bad loans, which are associated, I guess, with the virus, they were a bit better than expected. So, you know, that sort of thing. And it's that detail, it's that forward-looking type of analysis. Also, just how confident are the CEOs, CFOs? Are they going to be looking to buy each other, do some M&A activity? You know, we started to see a little bit of that in the US and in the UK. From a corporate bond perspective, that's very important if, you know, companies want to lever up. So just some of the details, some of the enthusiasm for taking on a bit more debt, that's the sort of thing that we're going to be looking at.
So watch the statements rather than the figures, I suppose, is the message. Yeah. And Christine Lagarde, I think it was in Venice when she sort of alerted people to the fact that the ECB, the European Central Bank, was going to change tack. Is that the case? Are they?
Yeah, they did a strategy review for 18 months, I think it was, and they announced that the result of it, which frankly didn't sound all that exciting. They're not really moving the dial in terms of the inflation target. Maybe if you sort of read between the lines, it's a slightly higher inflation target, which suggests that they should do more supportive monetary policy. Yeah, most analysts shrug their shoulders at this announcement. But as you say, Christine Lagarde has said since, watch out for Thursday. We're going to do something interesting. We could do something interesting on Thursday. So there we go. She said it, and now she's got to prove it. Give it a couple of days.
Exactly. All right. So look, as regular listeners to Market Talk will know, we always end these podcasts with the number. So Ben, here we go. What's your number for this week, and why have you chosen it?
Well, it's nothing to do with financial markets. It's just something that I think is quite funny, because most of my friends who live in the UK have been drenched for the last few months whilst I've been sitting here in Hong Kong in lovely sunshine. But it feels as though the table has turned. Today we had a three, that's the number, a wind warning three or typhoon warning three. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but anyway, it's been absolutely chucking it down. Whereas you're in lovely sunshine, aren't you?
Oh, typhoon three. Just remind me, is it how significant is that?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been outside to test, but it's been absolutely chucking it down. Like I said, it's been a bit windy, but yeah, I'm not going outside.
The message is, I suppose, isn't it? Let's batten down the hatches and for all of us, stay safe. Ben, as ever, thanks so much for all your insights and for joining Market Talk. And until next time, thank you. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com.